You're the salt of the earth, a rare preservative that's pure, that keeps death and decay from happening. When that salt mixes with impurities, mixes with sin, sin gets in your life and it becomes useless. And we're supposed to be this light on a stand with no darkness in our lives. Anybody meet that requirement?
Not only does it matter what you do and what you say, but it's always going to matter until heaven and earth pass away. And the whole thing, not just parts of it, the whole thing matters. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. But the more I read out of this book, and the more I read out of this passage, the more I have to admit that it matters what we do. Our works matter.
What Jesus is doing here is he's getting to the heart of the matter. It's not the, murder, it's, yeah, that's bad. Why? What's the motive behind it? He's getting to our heart. If there's someone that you know has something against you, be reconciled with them.
A lot of what I saw in Matthew 5 is something that I think is impossible. I was reading it and I go, God, how the heck am I supposed to do this? When I think of the Sermon on the Mount and I think of the things that I struggle with and things that I don't understand about the Sermon on the Mount and the things that God, that Jesus asked us to do seem kind of ridiculous. But I forgot one part, and this is the thing that holds us up, is that we can't do it on our own. And before I get into anything that I'm talking about today, without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit living within us, there's no way. This stuff is impossible. So the first thing that we have to do is make sure that we surrender our lives to Christ and realize that without Him, none of this stuff is going to happen. It doesn't really matter what a man thinks of you. It's all about what God thinks of you and how He views your heart. That's what we need to focus on when we're trying to get over an addiction, when we're trying to get over lust, is realizing how much God loves you. We're called to some higher calling. We have a God that loves us, a God that has a purpose for our lives. When we live like Christ and we live like what Christ said, it's going to be seen and the world's going to notice a difference. It says that they're going to smell the sweet aroma. They're going to know that you're different.
Why should we read this and say, oh, hey, let's go love our enemies now and pray for those persecuted? There's one reason that should be obvious, and that's because Jesus tells us to, right? It's in the Bible. And it's like, oh, it's in the Bible. Jesus tells me to do it, then I should do it. As sons of our Father in heaven, we're called to live a different way, and that is to not simply love those who love us, but to, in addition to that, love those who hate us. In each little section that we've been looking at, Jesus sets a standard that is above and beyond all of us and what we're capable of doing, but it's a standard that he completely meets. One of the things that I forget a lot is how much God has forgiven us, how much God has forgiven me. The only way for us to really love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us and so on and so forth is when we realize in our hearts that we were once God's enemies. And God said, you know what? I'm going to pay your debt and I'm going to love you because I want you in my kingdom. And if God did that for us, who are we to hold anything against anybody else?
We call ourselves Christian, and as a Christian, our goals are supposed to be for ourselves to die, the Lord to be glorified through us. One of the things about giving in secret is that you can't receive the glory for it. And to be a part of that is a huge blessing. You can see God's love change lives. It grows us closer to God when we're not focused on ourselves. But the Lord is giving back to us, though we are undeserving. He is asking us to give out of our abundance, out of our hearts. He's asking us to sacrifice and
pride and selfishness are kind of ultimately what's behind hypocrisy, and something that can combat that and help your motives be right is love. A lot of what praying is to remind yourself of your position to God, like the way that you relate to Him and how small you are and how great He is and how much in control He is. Really, what God cares about is where your heart is. When we are truly loving Him and we are truly listening to what He wants us to do, God can call us to do some kind of ridiculous and counterintuitive things, like giving away money, like talking to people who are looked down upon, like not spending time with your friends in order to do things for God. Like, God is always there for us, and He will always love you back. When you have an attitude of love toward God, you will delight in seeing how much greater He is. And
Where your heart is, there your treasure is. What we have our focus on, what we have our mindset on, kind of shows in how we live and how we act and how we talk. If you want to be a light of the world, if you want to be a Christian, if your focus and your mindset is on earthly stuff and not on heaven, then your light is not going to shine very well. It's going to be darkness. Yeah, American dream. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness is one way I found that kind of summed it up. We get taught this all throughout school, like this is what life should be about, is you can do what you want in your life, your freedom, you pursue what you want to pursue. But Christ is saying, okay, you can do that, but you're not serving God. When we're serving mammon and we're doing these things, we're making ourselves our own kings. The way we're living and who we're setting up as our king, we might be able to get away with it, like, you know, doing the Christian thing, but still really just living to serve ourselves. But when we come face to face with the only true king, there's going to be nothing to hide behind.
Judging is a way of turning your eyes away from heaven. It's a way of thinking about what other people are doing and focusing on the world instead of focusing on God. And despite all of our sin, despite everything that we have and all the dirt and the junk, he loves us. He loves us. And to turn around and then not return that is hypocritical. When I flirt, I don't like flirt. I do like the holy flirt. Jesus is commanding us to not let people's negative actions and motives affect the way we love them based on the love that he has given to us.
He loves us when we're lonely. He loves us when we're not and when we're full of God's love. But sometimes there are things and situations that block our understanding of that love. Seeking, the imagery that comes to mind for me with that is kind of running around the forest and like looking behind trees and under rocks and climbing trees to like get a better view and like swimming across rivers and whatever. So it's a very active process, right? No, it's supposed to be because God loves us. And it's supposed to be because we receive love from God that we have the resources and the energy and the desire to love people in a way that God would love them. Ask God for his love so that we can understand what it means to be loved by God and in turn be able to love people with more relevance and by pointing them to God.
People aren't hearing ideas and philosophies and ways to live from church, then there's probably a lot of false ideas going around out there. The Bible is saying that there's definitely a right way and a wrong way. There is a wide way to live your life that will lead to destruction that most people, it seems to say, wide, and a lot of people are going through this, or there's a narrow way that leads to life. Verse 18 says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." Only you and God know what your motives are and what your heart condition is. Keep your focus on the inward, and the outside is it's the fruit, it's the result, it's not the cause of your salvation, the cause is the inside.